Immediately he will send it back here. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed after were crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking all around, he departed for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not yet the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' And you have made it into a robber's den." And the chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for all the multitude was astonished at his teaching. And whenever evening came, they would go out to the city, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And behold, reminded Peter, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, behold the fig tree which you curse has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and elders came to him and began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But shall we say from men?" They were afraid of the multitude, for all considered John to have been a prophet indeed. And answering Jesus, they said to him, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Amen. Okay. So one of the tensions that Jesus has with the people following him, as well as the people that are just Jews in general, is this kind of a misunderstanding that the Israelites have about the Messiah. What Israel has always been looking for, they've been looking for the Davidic Messiah. In other words, the Messiah that will come and free them from Roman prosecution, Roman rule. And so to the Jews, their hope of the Messiah was this warrior, you know, was this person that was going to come and bring justice, you know, to the people and basically bring them out of Jewish, out of Roman rule. That's why, this is a side note, but Judas, actually, considered a tragic figure. If you read some things on Judas, there's a part there that he believed that if he could entice Jesus in a fight, then that warrior Messiah would come out. And so, you know, there's a school of thought that says that Judas actually wasn't really going after the money. You know, this is just one school of thought. You know, that he was actually trying to entice Jesus into a fight so that the Davidic Messiah, you know, would come out, you know, and he would now free Israel. But Jesus all along was the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. You know, that's why, if you notice, when you look through this, every time Jesus started talking about the cross, he started talking about people, that he was going to be persecuted and these things, tons of people left him. You know, even his own disciples were very, you know, discouraged and, you know, really perplexed by what he had said, because even in their mind, he was the warrior Messiah that was going to come and free Israel. You know, but from day one, Jesus knew very, very particularly well that he was the suffering servant that was going to die and suffer on behalf of Israel, and thus, in that way, free them. You know, and so they had different opposing views, and one of the ways that we can see this really highlighted is Jesus coming into Jerusalem, right? Now, if you imagine a picture of a warrior king coming into town, you know, after a victory, You know, what animal would a king ride? Right? Yeah, a huge white horse. You know, very much similar to like Napoleon, you know, whenever he conquered kingdoms, he'd bow into, forgive me, Sandra, if I say this wrong, right? The Champs d'Elysees, is that okay? Right? You know, and he'd go into the Champs, right? And, you know, and it was this, you know, huge procession of warriors and crowds and all these things. But what animal does Jesus very particularly choose to enter into Jerusalem as the king? A donkey, right? This is, you know, I mean, you know, this does not look like a king. You know, a king would not ride into town, right, into the holy city on a donkey. You know, what kind of king is this? But again, another very typical portrayal that Jesus is saying, look, I am the suffering servant. You know, I am the son of David. You know, all these things are true. But my task in this coming, in his first coming, is to come as a suffering servant for all mankind, to die for the sins of the world, right? Now, when Jesus comes again, right, that's going to be the Davidic, right, the Messiah that you know, most of Israel thought, and he's going to come as the judge, right? And so we'll see this coming into fruition, but for now, right, it's the suffering servant. So even, you know, by choice of the animal that he chooses, all the other kings before, they would stroll into Jerusalem, right, and big horses, you know, marching in, and Jesus comes in this little colt, right, this little donkey. You know, and you know, outside of making a theological statement, right, it's also a statement on who Jesus was, right? He was a humble king, right? He was literally the servant king. And so the next episode, he goes and now he's entering to Jerusalem. So obviously he's going into the temple. On his way to the temple, he finds, you know, major injustice going on. And this one actually on two different levels. The first level is that he sees people getting ripped off. Now, what not necessarily, this would be more of the Sadducees, the people that were in charge of the temple, what people had to do is, you know, they'd make a yearly trek to the temple to make an offering, you know, to sacrifice. And the leaders of the temple, what they started doing was they said, you know what, you can only offer to God, you know, Roman money. You know, in other words, money, you know, that was only used in Rome. So people would come from far different lands. They would bring their currency with them. And they say, you cannot offer your currency. Why? I mean, that's kind of stupid, right? You should be able to offer anything. But it says, you can't offer your currency. So you need to go to these money changers and change money. And of course, they got ripped off. You know, it's like, you know, going changing money at Chim Cha Choi, right? You're going to get ripped off, you know, and things. And so, you know, these guys would get ripped off. The money changers would actually give a cut to the people in the temple, you know, for giving them this space to operate in, to rip these people off. And then people would bring their doves, you know, and the Moses' rule was that you gave spotless animals. You know, these animals had to be without blemish, whatever you sacrifice to the Lord. And so what these guys would do, they would bring spotless animals, and the temple officials would say, no, that's got a blemish. You need to go buy a dove over there. You know, and so then now you got this other, you know, kind of side business going on where these guys were selling doves, you know, same condition as the ones that they brought with them, you know, but they were making money again. And Jesus is upset about this. You know, I mean, these are, you know, genuine people that wanted to come and worship the Lord as Moses prescribed, you know, and here they are getting ripped off, you know, and these guys in the temple are getting wealthy, you know, these Sadducees and these temple officials, you know, and I mean, can you imagine, you know, charging people extra to worship God? Now, so he's mad about that injustice. There's actually a greater injustice that's happening that Jesus is really fuming over, and the area by which they are selling this thing is actually Solomon's Porch. And this is actually where we get our name as a church. You know, and this area, Solomon's Porch, was the outer court of the temple. And in Solomon's Porch, or Solomon's Portico, was the only place that non-Jews, Gentiles, could come and sit. They couldn't enter into the gate over there, right? And so remember in Acts, 4 or 5, it's the gate beautiful there, you know, where the beggar was. You know, that's at the gate, and it's Solomon's Porch here. It's the gate, and then the temple is right inside. People could actually, the Gentiles could actually hear the gospel near the gate, and it was okay for them to be there. They couldn't enter in, but this is the only place during that time where a Gentile can hear about God. And what has the temple officials done? they've eradicated this space. No Gentiles can enter in because now it was a house of merchandise. Right? This is where, so Jesus came and he upended tables and chairs and all these things. And he says this very specific statement. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. Right? This was the only place that Gentiles can hear about this incredible God. And they were robbing, not only robbing their own people from sacrificing, now they were robbing the Gentiles from hearing this message of the gospel. And so Jesus gets so upset. And if you think about this, right, this is really getting to the core of their Abrahamic covenant. The covenant of Abraham, the covenant for the Jewish people was that you will be a blessing for all the nations. Well, how are they going to bless all the nations? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they were going to be the people by which Christ comes through. You know, and they have forsaken their call as a people, you know, and they've totally, you know, replaced it with merchandise, did all these things, and no longer became a blessing. You know, I mean, it's a really sad state that these people are in. So immediately right after this, right, the leaders, the Sadducees and whatnot, they plot how they can get rid of him. Because not only has he insulted, right, or he's insulted their bank accounts now, but now he's insulted their very purpose as a people of God. You know, and so, you know, they're starting to get quite angry at what's going on here. And then he, and so, you know, this whole thing transpires. And then next thing you know, Jesus, you know, the fig tree happens and Jesus turns. And this is what I really want you to take from this today. You know, he says in 22, he says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Right? Notice the word is past tense. Believe that you have received them. You know, this actually, I have a great testimony on verse 23. I know a guy, he a real man of God, and he runs a prayer mountain in L.A., up in the mountains of Los Angeles. And he was actually pastoring a church, and God told him to start a prayer mountain. And so, you know, and so he did. He started a prayer mountain. He lost 90% of his church, right? You know, they're like, this crazy guy, you know, we want to just go to church. We don't want to drive all the way, you know, an hour and a half to go to the mountains. And, you know, so he lost 90% of his church. And so here he is. He bought this land for this prayer mountain, and he's got no money now to finish. You know, he's stuck in a situation. So he's got this mountain. And so he's been going up to, you know, climbing the top of this mountain, you know, every day to pray. He gets so discouraged in his faith. He gets so discouraged, you know, that he eventually, he says, I'm going to go through a season. I'm going to really pray. And he was basically going up for the last time to say goodbye to God, you know. And he's going to go up and say, God, that's it. I had enough of you. You know, here you want, you had me come up and, you know, buy this prayer mountain. And I started the work. I lost my whole church. You know, and only my wife and I and a few faithful members are left in our whole church. And so I'm going to see you later, God. You know, bye-bye. I mean, he was really serious about this. And so he went up for the last day, went up to say goodbye to God. And then he noticed this truck pull up, you know, next to his house. You know, and so, you know, it's very desolate, this whole area. And so he's thinking, okay, something's happening. So he, I should say before that, he gets this verse. You know, he's trying to say goodbye. And God just put this verse in his heart. You know, if you have faith, you know, you can say to this mountain, move. Well, he rolls down and he gets down to this truck, and it's these civil engineers. And these guys come in and say, you know what, we're actually building a freeway, you know, down quite a bit, you know, over by the sea. And we actually been doing some surveying, you know, out in this whole area. And your property actually has the exact kind of soil that we need to build this freeway. And so, could we buy this from you? You know, can we buy, you know, a couple of the hills, you know, that are in part of your property? Can we buy this and, you know, and make this freeway, which is going to be really right next to the sea, next to the ocean? And so, you know, he didn't have to think very long. Yeah, how much you want for it, right? And he sold it, and he basically made a ton of money, and he finished his prayer mountain. Literally, I mean, literally, if you have faith, you know, you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move into the sea. And that's literally what happened. I mean, just this guy's got like 1,000 other testimonies as well, you know. But it's just amazing, you know, this thing. And the funny thing here, he didn't even have faith. He was going to say goodbye to God, you know. But God always came through for this guy. And this is the key, right? He says, and if you have faith, if you ask, believe that you have received them. In other words, you act like you already got it. He says it shall be done for you. Because that's faith. You know, my friend Che, actually, he's a pastor. I asked him, he's actually going to come to Hong Kong, I think, next week. And I asked him to come and speak at morning prayer, you know, and if he's able, he will. But he has this great story. He had this, I guess it's a TMJ. I don't know if you guys ever have it, but it's quite painful. You know, and his jaw, one morning he yawned and just jaw just locked on him. You know, it just created all this pain. And he was praying one day, and God said, "You are healed, Che." Right? And so he's like excited. "I'm healed. Yes." You know, and then he went to go eat food, and his jaw was killing again. And he thought, "Well, I thought I was healed." And the Lord said, "You are healed." And so a whole year he went through this. He had pain in his jaw. Right? Every time he chewed or something, it was pain there, but he kept telling, "No, I'm healed. I'm healed. God said I'm healed, so I'm healed. I received it. You know, I just receive it." You know, and he just, you know, it's kind of like his will was just battling. You know, and he says, "No, I believe the word of God. I believe what God's spoken. I am healed." Right? Past tense. You know, and he just contended. And for the whole year, he's sitting there. He's eating. His jaw is hurting. He says, "No, that's not true. I'm healed. I'm healed." You know, it's not a figment of his imagination. And then one day, all of a sudden, out of the blue, boom, the pain was gone. You know, and he recognized the truth and the value of this verse, right? Act like you already received it, and it shall be granted to you. You know, there's that faith element. You know, some of you guys are single, you want to be married. Act like, right? Act like you're, not act like you're married, you know? But act like that person is there in your life. How do you do that? How do you act like that person's there in your life? Well, number one, keep yourself pure, right? Number two, pray for that person, just like that person would be there. You know what I mean? I mean, just really simple, practical. Act like, you know, that person is already there in your life. You know, and a lot of things that we go through, you know, act like it. It's not a show or anything, but it's that faith that sits deep inside of us. You know, live like it's already happened. You know, I mean, that's what he says. I'll read it again to you. You know, this is not my little thing. It says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you." Right? And so this is, you know, this is something that I practice in my own prayer life. You know, I just, "Lord, you know, this is when I know that this is God's will. I know that God's done this thing. I said, God, this is your thing. Okay, I'm just going to believe it, you know, and I'm going to act like it's happened already, you know, and I'm going to pray to that end. You know, I'm not going to beg God anymore. You know, my prayers are even going to change, and I'm going to thank him, you know, for what he's done and what he will continue to do." Right? Now, I should also end with this. As soon as he says this, he touches on probably will become the major hindrance of our life when it comes to answered prayer, and it's the issue of unforgiveness. You know, probably in our life, there probably won't be such a damaging thing to our effectiveness in our prayer life as unforgiveness. You know, this will really drown out our prayers to the Lord. You know, and so we just always have to check ourselves and make sure that we are not walking in unforgiveness. You know, that we have really forgiven. And forgiveness is a process. You know, don't kid yourself, right? It'd be difficult for you, you know, especially if someone has really damaged you or damaged your family, you know, for you to forget overnight. And by the way, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting either. You know, I say this all the time, right? If someone steals my wallet, I'm going to forgive them, but next time I'm around this person, I want to make sure I know where my wallet is. You know what I mean? It's just smart that way. And so, forgiving is not forgetting. You know, God doesn't want us to get hurt over and over again. You know, but forgiving is giving the consequences of that, or, you know, the retaliation or retribution is giving that over to God and saying, "Lord, this is yours. You take care of it. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. You know, I forgive him from my heart." You know, and God will continue to lead us in that process, right? So make sure that this is not something that's stifling us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. The things that you are contending for these days, you know, the things that you're really seeking God for in this season. Number one, do you feel like this is God's will? And if you do, Start changing your prayers. Right? Start thanking God for what He's done, what He's doing, what He will do. We are not beggars. We are sons and daughters. God wants to bless our lives. He wants to do some amazing things through us. He wants to answer your prayers. Now, there may be hindrances to those prayers. That's our job, right? That's our part of the partnership. God's part is to answer them. And so let's deal with our part, right? Let's move in faith and say, God, thank you for healing my mom. Lord, thank you for raising my kids. Thank you for growing our church. Right? Past tense. Let God put a faith inside of you that you know that you know that you know that this is God over your life and over your family's life or whatever you're praying for. So let's even now, let's practice changing our prayers a little bit. Let's spend a little time, let's go before the Lord. And those things that you're really going after, you're really contending for, let's thank God in advance and believe in our hearts. Now let's pray together. And in that same line, let's pray for ourselves, or let's pray for a real effective prayer lives. Pray for real endurance as we pray. Let's pray that we'd really grab a hold of God's heart and we would pray effectively His will. And let's just cover ourselves right now in our prayer lives. For church, let's pray for all of our mothers at church. Let's pray that all of our mothers would be caring wives and caring moms, and ask the Lord to give them wisdom to raise their children, you know, with just real love and care, and they would be operating out of God's will and God's design and what the scriptures say about raising children. And so let's really pray for them. Let's pray that they really love God. And you know, probably the mothers at our church are probably the busiest people in our whole church. And let's really pray that they'll be able to manage their time and really be able to spend time with God as well as the kids and with their husbands and all these things. And so let's just pray for all of our mothers right now. Let's pray for the launch of our house church ministry. Let's pray for a real effective ministry, community. Pray for the leaders, anointing, favor, wisdom. Pray for the venues. We're at that time right now that we need to start making decisions about our format and exactly how we're going to come together. So let's really pray for wisdom and a real direction for all the leaders and whatnot. And so let's just lift up the ministry. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for Lisa. Let's pray for her to just be a blessing for her mother and brother's businesses in California. Ask God to really have their hand upon them and pray for patience and wisdom in raising Elise and Emma. Pray that she'd be a great wife and a great support for myself and for the church. All right, so let's lift up Lisa. Let's pray for Eddie. Let's pray for a continuation in his growth, education, and faith as a Christian, to help him to stay the course towards self-improvement and a relationship with God, to eliminate obstacles in his life that hinder growth. And when I finally got his life in order with enhanced faith as a Christian, to help him share and be a witness to family, friends, and colleagues, I pray that the Lord will provide him with a gift of superior wisdom and ability to distinctly hear God's voice so he can follow all aspects of his life. Says he often struggles to hear his voice in his current prayer life. Pray for the salvation of his family, his dad, mom, sister, and brother. They attended church growing up, but have not gone for 15 years. The Lord will really speak to him about his role in this process and also salvation of certain extended family members and friends who've been in his recent prayers. Pray for his sister Phyllis and brother Albert to find significant others from God in 08 and himself as well. For continued good health, for his grandmother's one recently diagnosed with stomach cancer and the other with history of strokes and high blood pressure for his parents as they grow older in age. God's guidance and hand over his career provide him with wisdom and success in his new role as he's transitioning and being in Feb to New York. Pray that he gets there for a healthy environment, good mentors. He can excel in his new role and open new opportunities for me down the road and then a smooth transition back to Hong Kong. And just for him to be able to thank the Lord for all the blessings that God has already given to him. All right, let's pray for Eddie. Do you pray for Pastor Sam? That would be me. Pray for wisdom in leading the church, and pray for healing for my mom from her stomach cancer. Pray that I would be a great husband, a great father. I pray more than anything else, I would love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Right, that every day I just fall in love with Him more and more. Lord, I pray, God, that You would make our prayer lives to be so effective, Lord, that we would get rid of any obstacles to our lives, our prayer lives, Lord, and more than anything, God, that we would operate in faith, God. Lord, we would believe that You want to answer these prayers, God, because we believe that You gave us these prayers, Lord. And so, Father, God, just move in our hearts, Lord, God, that we may move in faith. Lord, watch over us this day, God. Help us to glorify Your Son, God, in all that we do. Lord, we pray for open doors, God, opportunities to share about You, Lord. And we just totally submit our will to Your will today, God. We thank You so much, God. Watch over us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.